Welcome to the School of Hollywood. Hey, this is Steve Owens, and today Sal Velez Jr. is in the house. Sal can be seen on Netflix Black Summer as a series regular, On the Verge, also on Netflix, and a new series that's coming to Netflix as well. But today we're going to be talking about how to audition for two lines, things that makes a series regular stand out above everybody else, and how to make choices in the audition room. All right, let's get started with Sal. Sal, what advice would you give somebody new coming into the business today?
First advice, don't listen to me. No, I would think that, you know, the business is changing, right?
Yep.
There's certain things that are completely out of our control. We've watched, you and I both have watched the days of a primetime TV show go to streaming network, go to digital, the platforms are always changing. To now we have streaming giants that are worldwide. So as an actor, you have to realize all of that is a constant change. It's always evolving. There's always going to be people out there discovering the best way to entertain the world. And because of that, we have to also realize that that's out of our control. That's not within, we don't have, as an actor, we don't have the ability to control how the entertainment world is going to change. Even with COVID, you know, that's changed. The pandemic has changed the way we film, the way we shoot, the protocol, the testing, the nonstop for every show I do, I have to quarantine before and after. For every voiceover, I have to go do COVID tests just to go walk into a studio recording ADR session. So because of that, the one thing that I can tell an actor that has not changed is the story. What's written on the page and what an actor can do and embody the work, that hasn't changed. Every actor has the ability to consume a script, digest it, and then go back and perform that script. And it's up to them if they want to be able to perform it one way, you know, do they want to be able to perform it 10 ways. As an improver, I instinctively learn how to tell a script or tell a character multiple ways. I usually try thinking about, you know, where are they at in America? Where are they out in the world? Are they from the East? Are they from the West? Are they old or are they young? Are they educated? Are they from the streets? You know, I take all that and I layer it into my character, and I start to build this performance that I feel like this is something that I can watch, and that I can, it's like taking, you know, a make-believe world and making it true. So that's what an actor can do. That's what an actor can actually control, their performance. They can control that little part of them. Now that's I say it easily, but it's not easy, because obviously all the other ingredients that are going on in your life are also things that can take you away, your focus. If you're too preoccupied with too many things, if you're overworking yourself and not giving enough time to your craft, if you're still not ready, maybe you need a little bit more camera time or more theater time, and you're expecting too much out of yourself. Also, the willingness to know you're going to fail. You know, failure is a big part of where we are. You know, and without it, you will never know what you have to achieve. You know, you cannot just expect everything to be a home run every single time. So you take all that and you put it into the work, and to remain as honest and as vulnerable as a person can be. And if you do the work, I'll say this again, if you do the work and you do all the process and everything that you put it into that work, I guarantee people will see it. Yeah, and that's what we want. We're doing this to share it with the world. Young actors coming up, you know, they're trying to figure out how do they fit in this industry? What can they do next? What are the things they have to do next? And sometimes they get caught into doing a number of things, which I believe is all helpful. You know, social media, you know, having updated photos, updated resume, availability is very, very important. Flexibility, being able to do stunts if required, flexibility to speak different languages when it's required, flexibility to play a character in numerous ways. I think all that's super, super important. The most important part, I feel, is sometimes neglected, which is doing the work that piece deserves. And when that's done, you know, people will recognize it, people will see it, and we watch it happen all the time. You know, I watched a wonderful, wonderful actress, can't think of her name, but there's a show called The Wilds. I remember I auditioned, they had sent me to go to Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, okay, well, if I'm going to read for the show, I might as well watch the show to get the tone. And so I was watching a show, and this one girl stood out, and I kept watching her. And I said, man, this girl is really, really honest. I really love her performance. And I followed her on IMDb, and I started researching her. Come to find out, she's never had any camera experience ever in her life.
Wow.
And it was just such a wonderful thing to see, because she didn't have to concern herself with the business and with all the politics of getting that lead role. All she had to concern herself was with being honest and truthful in her performance. And that was enough to get her a series and get her a regular in the series. And I would not be surprised. We'll see her for years to come doing a wonderful job as an actress in many things. And that's all because of the work.
Well, you also go one little further step beyond this, and that is you know, a lot of actors will just get the audition and they'll do the scene, but you also go to the step of looking up the director, the producers, seeing what other shows that they've done, what other kind of cast that they've brought in. You really, really invest in your homework on these, and it comes across on every self-tape that you do.
Yes, yes. I think that, you know, you have to educate yourself. Just, you know, you can't spend too much time into it, but you educate yourself, do your research. These days we have everything available to us. You know, so you can Google the project. I suggest if a TV show comes across your play, I suggest Google or IMDb the project, find out who the director is, find out the tone. You know, obviously you need to know if it's comedy or drama or suspense or which direction they're heading in. You also want to find out, you know, sometimes some of the actors that are involved in it or the writers that are involved in it, their tone and their history. You can start to see what kind of body of work that they already exist in. And so that helps you out, because I've done it a million times. I've come on to characters and I've completely played them like completely left wing, you know, like just go all the way out. And then I'll give you an example. So we're doing The Way Back. Gavin O'Connor is a great, great director. Warner Brothers, great company, right? Ben Affleck, great actor, right? So I go on there, and Gavin thought that I was going to play my character very sad and very torn, because my son was in and out of the hospital constantly, and because my son was facing a terminal thing, and we kind of knew that. But I begged him, and I said, Gavin, let me just show you what I see in this character. Let me just show you. And we're in the producer session. This is before we even shot the movie. I started performing him with the greatest joy of my life, as if my son was gonna live every single day in Candy World, you know? Yeah. And it was just, I played him like as if we were at Disney World the whole time. And Gavin stops me and he goes, "What the hell are you doing, Sal?" he goes, "What the hell are you doing?" He goes, the writer, he goes, I this is based off a novel. And he goes, I'm having such a hard time finding out how to play this character. And here you go playing him like Willy Wonka, you know? and I said, "You know, Gav, I got to be honest. We can always tune it back. We could turn it back if we want to. We can go as dark as we need to. We could pull back on all the strings. But I think that this story needs to be told from this angle. And I want to show the endearment and the love that this father has for his son. And I don't want nothing to come in between it until we have no choice but to show it." So Gavin goes, he goes, "You son of a bitch." So then he goes, "Fine." He scratches his head. He goes, "Do whatever the fuck you want." So we did it. Sure enough, I think within a week, he calls up the casting and says, "I want Sal to play this character." You know, I did enough to convince him that I can sell this guy in both directions. I could play him as sad and tearful, but I also could play him the joyous way. That was important because, you know, you don't get a chance all the time to really be that one-on-one with a director. And when you are, you know, you get a chance to really, really, really tell the story. So I think that was kind of came with a little preparation, knowing that I can do this character in many ways. And so that came from research of just knowing, hey, you know what, the director I'm working with, he's flexible. He's done that kind of embodiment. Also, Ben also is flexible, and they're going to allow me to go there. Because if they weren't flexible, then they would have looked at me like I was just off my rocker for trying it that way, you know? So that kind of, you know, goes into the research of every film. We did Savages with Oliver Stone. Oliver, you know, has a very, very dark storytelling vision. And he is kind of like a guru of movie making. He understands it from the beginning, from the Universal putting the money and the funding together, all the way to the casting, all the way to the editing room, all the way to the storyline, to the rewrite of the script, to the screenplay, all the way to the very end, to the score that they actually put on it. Oliver's mind goes from the beginning to the very end. And you have to know this, because if you walk up to him on a normal day and ask him a normal question, he's not going to give you a normal answer, you know? So if you don't know Oliver by now, if I didn't do my research, I'd be like, well, I can't get a straight answer out of this guy. I don't know what the hell he wants, you know? But I knew Oliver was that kind of person where he was very, he was a visionary who saw things on a wider spectrum. So hence I had to be prepared for anything he wanted to do, you know, not to mention, you know, he's Oliver Stone. He's gonna have his multiple variables of storytelling, and they're gonna come with many, many hidden agendas, you know. So, you know, knowing the research and knowing who you're working with does help tremendously, you know. So that helped me out a lot in that too.
It's interesting that you're talking about the way that you approach things. And I was on Clubhouse as a moderator today. And one of the questions that was coming up, and it's actually come up several times that I've been on there, how do you approach if you only have two lines to audition?
Oh, there's so much that goes on beyond the lines. Any actor out there who's worried about verbiage, I mean, sometimes I actually prefer scenes with no lines at all. Easier for me, right? I don't have to get off book for nothing. But I think that there's so much going on. If they're in the moment, they're being honest and they're being truthful, And if that moment only calls for two lines, then that's fine. They shouldn't be ashamed of it, or they shouldn't be frowned upon it or scared of it, because there's so much that goes on even without saying a word, you know? I mean, how many times have we seen, I can't even think of the actor. This actor was doing this movie, and he was a land dweller. He was he owned everything, and he had some nemesis neighbor kept trying to like steal some land. He was trying to find a way to deal with him. He gets to the point where he just looks off into the sunset, and he couldn't be no more than 5'6". You know, he just looks off. He looks off into the sunset. They got him on a quarter shot, nice close up on his face, and the camera just stays on him. I mean, just stays on him. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, I can hear everything that this guy is saying. You know what I mean? Every single word in his thoughts, in his mind, in his eyes, in his grin. You know, it's just every single thing going on. He didn't have to say a word. In fact, if he would have said a word, it probably would have ruined the moment. The stillness was just superb. And we've saw some amazing, amazing still actors. Benicio del Toro is probably one of the most stillest actors I've ever worked with. He's like a statue. The dude doesn't move. You know, and, you know, the dude. It's funny because I'm like, move. You know, but that's his technique. He's as still as a statue, and he just sits there, and with a stoic look, he just puts it out there, and it's proven success for him. And less is more. No words needed. Just an amazing, amazing presence. I can't think of the other Henry Fonda used to do it.
Remember? Oh yes, yeah, yes,
yeah. Yeah, it's just like you would be like, wow, are these guys having a stare down with the sun? You know what I mean? You know, they're just in that moment. And, you know, you can't take it away from them. You can't take away from them. And I promise you, I'll get that actor's name because you're going to love when I find it. Actually, the movie I'm thinking about, he did with Jane Fonda too. So, yeah, it was Jane Fonda. Let me not get into names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what another great exercise to do is actually take, and I've been watching a show called Call My Agent, a French TV series, and you don't have to have, you know, up on screen the subtitles. The actors are so strong in the show that you know what they're talking about. I mean, there's one scene where you could just see the agent lying to the actor and saying, you've got the only script that's available, and it's a mother-daughter team that came into the agency, and they both walk out in the hall, and they're looking at each other, and they both got the same script, and you can feel the emotions on it, you know. And there's one with Monica Bellucci who decides that she got dumped by her boyfriend, and she wanted to date a common man, and you could feel each one of these scenes that you know, there's a guy, just she put on a wig so nobody noticed her, and he's going, yeah, you're kind of like Monica Bellucci, and but you're a terrible, you know, she's a terrible actress. She has no, and just seeing the reactions on her face was just classic. And it's a great exercise to watch from an actor's standpoint, just turning off the sound of a foreign movie and seeing if you can understand it.
I agree. I love watching, cinema without audio. You know, there's so much going on, and you know, and also actors have to know, you know, for up and coming actors, they also have to understand that what's on the script and page, a script is being developed. It takes about 50 to 100 rewrites before it actually gets to the producer's hands. When it gets to the producer's hands, it's going to do another 50 rewrites. By the time it gets greenlit, goes to a TV show or to a film, you're talking about maybe 2 years before a script actually takes birth, right?
Yep.
And so those words and those characters all change. They all change. Even when you take a novel and you have to do a screen adaptation, they all change. And so they evolve into something else. And so by the time an actor walks on and they're 3 years later walking, picking up a script, they have to also understand that that producers and the directors also want to see a fresh take on this person still, because it's all evolved. It's all changed so much that now they're not absolutely sure if they want how they want their character, their leading characters. Now they want to see something completely compelling to them, something that's going to change their outlook. And so, you know, up and coming actors can, they have to know this and not expect that they have to go in and deliver it. You know, I give an example. I can't write a script and, you know, and bring it to Christopher Walken and say, hey, Mr. Walken, can you do a script with me, without rewriting it? Because Christopher Walken is a paraphraser. You know, he everything he, you know, I talk like this. Sometimes I go there. Sometimes I stay here. You know, everything's a paraphrase. You give it to Al Pacino, he's going to paraphrase his dialogue. You give it to Denzel, Denzel's going to use his dialogue. So it's constantly modifying the writing, constantly modifying the characters. So actors do not have to be afraid of trying to be one way with something. They could actually just embody it and be who they are and tell it in their best format, and not be worried about, well, I'm not like the first Spider-Man. I didn't read it like the first Spider-Man. But you're the new Spider-Man. You're somebody different now.
Exactly. And yeah. Batman and Superman. And
Batman. Yeah, yeah, exactly, Batman. You're not, yeah, you know, I mean, we've watched some wonderful adaptations and characters change. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you can never be better than that. Sometimes I say it all the time. I'm like, oh, you know, don't touch it. Cause it, you know, how many times have we seen a character, we fall in love and we think you can't redo that character, you know, and watch Marlon Brando or Paul Newman or Jimmy Stewart do something completely amazing. And we're like, no one can come in and do, you know, a White Christmas or a wonderful, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. They just can't, but sure enough, it will happen. Somebody will come along and they'll bring their accent and put their stamp on it and make it their own.
Well, I sure hope they don't do it to Casablanca. I mean, that is that is one movie I will complain about.
Yeah, Casablanca, yeah. How about that for movie making? Huh?
Exactly. Well, speaking about movie making, you're also advancing in your career, becoming a writer, producer. And how is that changing for you?
Well, producing is a new monster for me. Producing, you know, a lot of the work that goes behind a show or behind a movie, it's a lot of work. And I don't really care to wear that hat all that much. I got to be honest. You know, I think that there's some great producers. And I would love for them to just do their job, because it's a lot of work. Putting movies together is a lot of work. But I'll tell you this: through writing, I end up being able to, like, really capture some stories and put stuff on paper that I feel like if I don't write it now, then it's gonna be it's going to be something that's inside of me that I just didn't get out. And so you start to express, and you got to write your scripts down and write your stories, because as time goes by, we start to forget those experiences, and we start to forget things that how we envision it and the vision that we had from the first idea. And so pouring that on, it becomes almost like a therapy. And as you go along, you start to share your work with others, and other people start to like really get back to you. And I found out through writing that, you know, a lot of my peers, a lot of my actors, a lot of people that I've shared my stories with, they're blown away by the stuff. And I thought I was just writing like just some normal, cheesy stuff, but sometimes, that piece can mean more to somebody else. We just don't know it yet. And so the good thing is with the streaming giants and the streaming world and this whole new world, I've seen more scripts get done these days than I've ever in my life. I see, I love, the lower budget movies when they come and they knock out the giants. I love that. I just love it. Get a movie that's like a Moonlight, a little $5 million movie to go up there and steal the Oscars from everybody else who spent $50 million on making the movie. I love that. I love the underdog. I just love the storyline. I love Parasite coming on and being an international film being done by the Korean market and their version and their visions, and still with a micro budget and being able to come in and storm the Academy and storm the entertainment world and proving that good work is above the rest. I mean, so as a writer, and a producer these days, I find that's a very promising place for me to live in.
Sal, we appreciate you being here on The School of Hollywood. Great insight today. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show with Sal Velez Jr. Be sure to follow School of Hollywood on Instagram. Also like us on the podcast. And be sure to follow your dreams. Don't let anybody stop you. Until next time, this is Steve Owens.